Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm going to be joined by Tim Martin, the founder of Net101, Australia's largest social media educator. Tim is going to share with us his thoughts on the role of social media in real estate. We're going to talk about where real estate agents go wrong when it comes to the content they're posting online and how you can take your social media from good to outstanding. But before we catch up with Tim, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants, and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
Now, if you haven't heard already, there are some changes that Google are making to their search algorithm after April 21st that are going to affect your website if it is not mobile friendly. And essentially what's going to happen is Google are going to start punishing the search ranking of websites if they are not optimized for mobile devices. But luckily there's a free tool that you can go and check out to check if your website is mobile friendly or not. So jump onto Google and type in mobile friendly test and type in your URL, hit analyze, and after about a minute, it's going to return a result good or bad. So it's going to tell you if your website is mobile optimized, or if it isn't, it's going to give you some solutions that you can then take to your web developer and work through those issues to make sure that you're not punished by these changes that Google are making. So if your website has been ranking quite high for some time, but it is not mobile friendly, these changes are certainly going to have an impact on your search ranking. So if you've been waiting for a while to invest in a new mobile friendly website, now is definitely the time to do that. So if you're unsure if your site is mobile friendly or not, go and have a look at the Google mobile friendly test and check if your site is ready for these changes. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Tim Martin. Tim Martin is the founder of Net101, Australia's largest social media educator. He has a 15-year background in digital marketing. He's a popular conference presenter and a master speaker for CEO Group, The Executive Connection. His presentations are widely valued for their practical how-to focus. Tim, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Josh. Good to be here.
Well, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, Tim, but can you take a minute and tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of your business?
Sure. Look, I from New Zealand originally. I came over in the early 90s to study wine here in Australia with the intention of going back to New Zealand after I graduated, but ended up staying in Australia. I worked in the wine industry for a number of years after that and was approached to be part of an internet startup back in the late 1990s. So it was the early days of the web that was in the wine or the liquor industry. But like a lot of dot-coms back then, that imploded. Went back into the wine industry, worked as the e-commerce manager for the Wine Society for several years, set up my own agency, which I ran for 3 years. And for the last 5 years, have been running training, education courses, mostly around the Net101 brand.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we won't hold it against you that you're from New Zealand. It sounds like you're naturalised here in Australia now, Tim. But
and I've got a citizenship or a passport to prove it to
you. It's official.
Yes.
Well, Tim, I'm really excited to have you on the show today for a number of reasons, but mainly because you bring a perspective from outside of real estate. And I think it's important to look at how people are succeeding with social in every industry, which is really part of the reason we spend a lot of time over in the United States looking at what all sorts of brands are doing over there. But just to kick things off generally, in your opinion, where do you think businesses go wrong with social media? And do you have any examples of where it's gone terribly wrong?
Look, I think there are a number of contributing factors as to why organisations don't feel that they're getting traction, I guess, on social media. Let me just run through a few of them. I think the first one would be an expectation that it's somehow going to be a river of gold, that it's going to pay back. You know, you set up a Facebook page, you've been up there for a couple of months, and somehow you're just going to sell a whole lot more of something. I've never seen that play out in any industry sector. So unrealistic expectations around a payback, unrealistic expectations around what's required to start to make it work in terms of the time and the energy that you've got to input into these different spaces. There's still a tendency, even in 2015, for organisations to approach it as a mega horn sales channel, just to basically blast out or broadcast a sales message as if it was on TV and radio, and social media is certainly not about that. Mm. And a general tendency to be self-centered in the way you approach social media, and that in actual fact, it's very little about you. It's mostly about other people out there and their needs, concerns, what's relevant to them. And when you start talking about yourself, as if you did, if you turned up to a dinner party, you're seen as a bore.
I think if you something that someone said at the Social Media Marketing World Conference over in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, Tim, that I think rings true, that, you know, when people wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're not really wondering, oh, I wonder what special offer my local real estate agent or the business down the road has for me today. it's not really like that, is it?
No, well, not in my world anyway.
No. Well, just if we can focus on real estate specifically, Tim, I know you do a little bit of work with some real estate professionals around the country, and some of them have come to your courses. Where do you think real estate businesses specifically may fall down when it comes to social media holistically?
Well, look, I think you've got to stop just talking about a house for sale at a price in a suburb and inspection times. Now, that can be interesting and relevant for people, you know, if you catch them at the right moment. But to the most part, people aren't going to stay subscribed or engaged on a channel if all you do is put up houses for sale or for rent. I think there's an opportunity for real estate agents to play the local card. You've got great local knowledge as to how stuff works within a community. You've been selling properties or managing properties within a particular set of suburbs for a long, long time, and you know the local community. I would play that card to try and talk about others, to try and talk about aspects of the suburbs or the places people are moving into, and not just here's another house for sale. Mm.
How do you think real estate agents can leverage some of the relationships they have in the local market, Tim? We see a lot of businesses now collaborating with other businesses in the local market to produce content together, whether it be special offers at the local restaurants or, you know, shows that are coming up at the local cinema or something like that. How do you think real estate businesses can leverage their other relationships in the community that they work in to really take their social media to another level?
Yeah, well, the way I'd answer that is I think you should always be thinking, how can I add value to a community or to a target audience, if you want to use marketing speak? So leveraging relationships is to the most part enhancing relationship or strengthening bonds. What's going to help the other person and by extension allow them to help you back somewhere down the track? So in anything I would be doing in social media or I guess otherwise, a lot of people have been doing this naturally for many years, is to try and add value. Now, that could be connecting two people. It could be lifting presence around a local festival or a new business that's opened up in the community. Try and put a lot of value into the pot before you try and make a withdrawal from that pot.
I think it's really, yeah, I think that's a great point, Tim. I think something that is deeply ingrained in real estate salespeople especially is they're paid to get sales, right? That's what they're paid to do. And I think what's deeply ingrained in them forever and a day is that sales mindset of if it's not going to have a return for me now, then why bother? And I think that's something that's deeply, not just salespeople in real estate. I don't think it's specific to this industry. I think that's across every vertical. But What are some examples of maybe some of the content that you've seen from real estate people in your local market, even Tim, or across the world? Is there any content that sticks out in your mind as something that sort of plays to your point of adding value to people's lives and being humorous and entertaining, that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. Look, can I just put that question on hold just for a second? Can I go back to your comment about sales?
Sure.
So sales are important. I mean, you're in sales and I'm in sales, and we all want to sell more if we're in sales. But I think the expectation of the return around the sale is wrong within a social media context for a lot of people in the space, that it's about the long-term sale. It's about building up credibility and trust over an extended period. And a lot of what you're able to do through social media is keep front of mind, publish content that doesn't sell, that actually adds value. And at the moment in the future, and it could be several years down the track, that they're ready to turn to someone that they know and trust, then hopefully that's where the sale will take place.
No doubt.
There's nothing wrong with sales at all. I just think you need to have a long-term view of it. So in terms of your question around content, this is the number one obstacle that I see for organizations in any industry sector approaching social media is how to get a good flow, a consistent flow of high quality content that doesn't sell or ram some sales proposition down my throat. Now that could be in the form of a blog talking about the local community or aspects around, you know, the quality of the schools or the cafes or access to transport hubs, those sorts of things. Blogging is fantastic for a number of reasons, especially search engine optimization. Images. I think images have the ability to tell a very powerful story. Now, real estate agents have been using images for a long, long time. You can go to any listing online and you can see the outside of the property. You get some pretty swank images of the rooms inside. But social media allows you to have a lot more flexibility in the way that you can project those high-quality images. So a Pinterest board, for example. You can have multiple boards, different aspects of the property or the area. Facebook is largely image-driven. The timeline news feeds are set up to play two images. So my advice would be a combination of images for people that want to eyeball a story, consume a story through their eyes with amazing visual aspects, as I say, not just the property but all aspects around that property. And long-form content for people like myself that like some of the nitty-gritty detail. I'm sure that people would like to know the history of a house. They would like to know all the ins and outs around some of the things I talked about before, and that's long-form content in the form of, in the form of text.
Now, look, great point, Tim. I was actually talking with a gentleman over at Social Media Marketing World who had a real estate practice in Texas. And a little over 4 months ago, they weren't practicing real estate. They were actually a law firm. And what they did was essentially create a public forum on Facebook for their county. And I've actually got it up on the computer here. It's called Henderson County Now. And what they did was start a Facebook page for their local marketplace and talking about local events and getting people to share their photos. And one story in particular that he shared with me was where someone was renovating their house and found a set of dog tags in the house. And they posted a photo of these dog tags that had the person's name on them from obviously a war of some sort. And they started getting all these people posting, commenting about it, and someone actually knew the person who it belonged to. And it just created this storm of comments and shares and likes, and basically it went viral. And the local TV station picked it up, the radio station. And this particular company, who 4 months ago didn't have a real estate practice, are now selling more property in their local market than any other real estate agent. And they don't sell anything on their social media. They, like I said, they were solicitors 4 months ago and they decided to get their real estate license. And now they're outselling every other real estate agent in the market. So I think it's really to your point that if you're not adding value to people's lives, then you're really not doing much at all, are you?
No, exactly. Look, I'm excited that, you know, if I was selling a property, I know a lot about my property, you know, far more than the agent would ever be able to know. You know, maybe I've lived here for 25 years. You know, I was part of the renovation or the extension. I know all the different seasons, what grows well in the garden and so forth. I would be trying to tap into that micro knowledge around the brand owner and try and inspire them to help them sell their own property. Because I think it's unrealistic for a real estate agent to go ahead and create a lot of collateral when they don't have that in-depth knowledge, but the house owners do. So to inspire them to tell stories around their own house, you know, who are the people that lived here? What are the neighbors like? Here are some, you know, 20 shots from out the back garden at different times of the year, all of that sort of stuff. But of course, you need buy-in from the people that know the place best, the owners.
I think that's a really important point. I think that's something where we may go down the track. And I think it's going to take a guinea pig, Tim, to really try something like that out, to really be the catalyst of other agents to go, wow, why hadn't we thought of that? And why haven't we done this before? But something that happens quite a bit in the real estate industry, Tim, is that agents get a whiff of someone landing a new client from social media and they sort of spring into action and they go ahead and replicate what a lot of other people in real estate are doing. And then they get frustrated with the results, or they have consultants who used to be agents themselves who claim to be the social media experts, but really they offer little substance. What industries, in your opinion, are doing well on social media? And what do you think real estate professionals can learn from looking outside of the real estate industry?
It's an interesting question when you ask, who's doing well? Because my response would be, well, what's the definition of well? And social media can be many different things. It can be, a touch point for customer service. It can be brand building, crisis management, of course, leads and sales. A lot of organizations, I think, are doing quite well based on having structure around what they set out to do in the first place. So they've got strategic intent around the objectives. They've got measurables on the other side, and they're just plotting forward day by day and trying to make it better and better. So I think there's always a tendency for people to say, well, who's doing well on social media? Let's see who's got the most number of followers or the most number of likes on Facebook. And, of course, that's just complete rubbish. It gives no indication of how well an organization is doing, because from the outside, we don't know strategically what they were setting out to do. Mm. So I think that's important, that why do you want to be in social media in the first place? Mm. If you understand what the outcome is in terms of an objective, what would success look like on the other side? And what are the expectations around the return? That's what I was sort of touching on earlier in the show. Yeah. And also, what resources do we need to pull this off, given what we've set out to do in the first place?
Well, what do you think some of the core objectives are, Tim? If we look at I'm familiar with your social media strategy canvas on your website. I'm just having a look at that now. What are some of the core objectives, in your opinion, in social media? And if we sort of break that down and have a look at, like you said, what are the results on the other side of those core objectives, do you think?
Okay, well, look, let's look at it within a sales context, which is myself and will be a lot of your listeners out there. Yeah. Leads and sales, obviously. Now, leads are great through social media. It's not easy to sell through social media per se, but it's a great way to lead generate, mm-hmm. but that takes time and you've got to build up credibility and trust. Mm-hmm. Secondly would be brand building. So if you can put high quality content out there that transcends sales and marketing, but actually adds value in terms of educating, enlightening, or entertaining, and that's branded or associated with the brand, that's a great way to get visibility and build up profile within a marketplace. And thirdly, and this is the big one for me, and I think it's an untapped source for a lot of real estate agents out there, is to play the subject matter expert card. So you know about how stuff works. You know the common points of pain for people that are buying and selling property in different contexts. You understand suburbs and communities. That allows you to go ahead and create content that adds value. It gives people insight and understanding as to how things work, and addresses their points of pain and their problems head on. But most importantly, it positions you as the subject matter expert. And with that comes credibility, and with credibility comes trust. And I think for a lot of us in sales mode, it's about lending credibility to ourselves and our sales proposition, engendering trust, and have people turn to us because people like to do business with people that they like and trust.
No, look, no doubt. I'm a big advocate for social media being the around customer loyalty and building advocacy in the brand as well, Tim. And a story that, just to give that some context in the real estate space, there's a particular gentleman in a town in Arizona in the United States who has a real estate practice over there, and they were building a new rail line through their town. And he essentially wanted to be known as the guy that knows all the good places to go along the rail line. So when they started building the rail line, it's called RailLife.com in Tempe, Arizona. And Nick Bastian, I believe his name is, and essentially he is now the rail guy. So if people are wanting to go to dinner on a Friday, Saturday night somewhere along the rail line, they'll go onto his website, or, you know, they're looking for property in a certain area along the rail line, they'll go to his website. So he is the subject matter expert in that area.
It's a great example, Josh. And it's interesting, and I see this a lot, that there are genuine subject matter experts out there, people that know a hell of a lot about how stuff works, but they've never projected it in an online context, whether that be through social or otherwise. Now, if people can't discover it and engage with it, it may as well not exist in the broader context. It exists within your mind and people around you that respect you and know you for what you do and what you know. But unless the broader community knows about it, it's like the tree falling in the woods if no one's there to hear it fall.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, where do you think a real estate company can start, Tim? If we break that down and have a look at this, there's a lot in there. What are the questions they need to answer before diving into social media, and where should they start at a really basic level, do you think?
Well, I'm a big advocate of business as usual, which is to say that I don't think you would undertake any initiative without having some strategic intent around it. So what are we setting out to do? What's the objective? Do we want to build up the brand? Do we want to position ourselves as subject matter experts? Do we want to provide customer service channels for people to engage with us through? To understand fundamentally what you're setting out to do gives you a little bit of structure around what you need to do. So I think all of us need to say, well, what would success look on the other side? And I think measurables are important. To just get into social media and give it a go without any ideas to what you're setting out to achieve, I think will not end well. So business as usual. I think that don't bite off too much at once. I think there's a tendency that people say, well, look, if I'm going to get into social media, why don't I open up every social media channel and have a better chance of selling more or something? It's actually the opposite. You want to concentrate on a couple of platforms that you think you can do a really good job of in terms of maintaining around publishing content through, that it's relevant to the target audience. So not just are the target audience there, but are they in the mode to receive the kind of messages that you want within that context. Expectations around your own resource requirements. So you can't just spend 10 minutes on it a week and kid yourself that you're going to kick goals on social. That won't happen. And the return on investment. And from what I've seen, this is a long haul. I mean, anything in business, well, some people tell you can get rich quick, but I haven't seen anything easy in business. To me, it's a lot of hard work. It's a long-term proposition, and you can do well, but it takes not weeks or months. Oftentimes, it takes years. But I think to start that journey and get involved and get some familiarity as to how things work, you will make a lot of mistakes and there will be failures, but of course they're all learning opportunities. But most importantly, you're in the space, you've got some feel for it. I think it's non-negotiable in 2015 that you can say social media is a flash in the pan, it doesn't apply to me, it's got no relevance to my industry sector. This is the thing that's not going away. It's very, very important, and you need to start getting your arms around how it works.
No doubt. Well, I think it's something that a lot of people, some of the discussions in other industries, Tim, are really around that strategy, and I don't think the conversation is any more in those other industries. You know, how do we get more likes or shares or comments? It's about how do we make money from this thing and what is the strategic objective? And something salespeople in real estate are fantastic at is measuring their sales ratios. But something I don't think they spend enough time on is looking at their marketing numbers in the same way. Well, can you get your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, marketing's always been a little bit fuzzy in terms of measurables. I mean, you can talk about reach and exposure and impressions and so forth. One of the catch terms that's becoming more popular at the moment is return on engagement. So the idea that that when you start to engage people genuinely, like you're not broadcasting at them or yelling at them. You're actually genuinely engaging and having a two-way conversation. That, how do you quantify that? I mean, this is the credibility trust thing that I was talking about before. Now, I've got a network of people around me, that professional and personal, which I place huge value on, but I actually don't think I could give you some numbers around that. Mm. I do know there are people that will take my call when I call them. I do know that reputation is important. I don't have people bad-mouthing me around town. But it's hard to put numbers around that sort of thing. And I think that's what social, you know, where there's a problem at the moment, is that you can quantify things around it, but to some extent it's an act of faith. Putting value into a community pot and engendering trust and building up credibility, mm. I think transcends social media. It's just one of those life skills that we learn as we go along.
Mm. In terms of content, Tim, how do you think we can find out what one of the questions we get here at Steps is, you know, what content do we post on social media? What do we don't know what to say. And how do you think real estate agents, in your opinion, can really find out what content their customers want?
Yeah, I think the one approach is to try and put yourselves in the shoes of the target audience. So, you know, if I'm buying my first house, let's say, you know, I'm 27 years old, I've got a partner, parents are helping us out with the mortgage. I've got an idea around a suburb I want to move into. What would be going through my mind? What are the things that I need to know to make a decision as to whether I go into one suburb over another, go with one agent over another, those sorts of things? So to see it from their perspective and say, well, what are the mental challenges I've got? What information? Is it technical? Is it financial? What sort of imagery do I need? What things are important to us as a young couple? You know, do we want to know about stuff in the local area around daycare centres, for example, because we're planning on having our first child within the next 2 years? So the type of content you produce should be very squarely targeted at a particular small segment of your overall audience, and try and imagine what's going through their mind and what's happening in their life. Now, I think images are important. I think social media without images is pretty dull to the most part. Mm. So a high emphasis on images, but again, not just the outside and the inside of the house. I want images of everything. I want to actually see the outside of the school and the daycare center. And these can all, you know, supplement or complement the base images around the house. For some people, you know, they want lots of technical detail. They want all the specs around the ventilators and the heating and all those sorts of things, because they're an older demographic and this is their third house. So they're around certain things and they know that, you know, technical detail is important. So I don't think there's any one answer, but putting yourself in the shoes of the target audience is certainly a great way to get insight as to the type of communications and the type of content you want to be feeding that audience.
What about some of the tools available? Let's say, for example, Facebook Audience Insights. Do you want to give a bit of insight into how that works for our audience and how you see that being used as a tool to maybe discover some of the topics or interests that people on Facebook in the local community have?
Yeah, look, you can, Facebook analytics called insights, you can get insight into certain things that people have an interest in. But I actually think the tool that I would prefer would be Google. I mean, social media is important and it is a very real thing. But still, most people today, when they want information around anything in any context, don't go to a social media platform, type a question, and they'll go to Google. Mm. It could be keyword phrase, or an actual question. So that's my preferred tool to get insights into the types of things people are looking for or researching on. And that tool is the Google AdWords keyword tool. Now, you've got to have a Google AdWords account to access that, but you don't need to run Google AdWords campaign. It allows you to run queries around keyword or keyword phrases within a specific country, so just Australia, and you can get some great insight into the common questions people are asking around any particular subject or topic you can think of.
No, great point. Great suggestion. Well, what about the future of social media here in Australia, Tim? What can real estate professionals do to get ahead of their competitors? And, what are some of the technologies or, platforms that you see playing out in the next, say, 5 years or so?
Okay, well, I'll answer the second question first. 5 years ago and now and 5 years from now, the most important platform any real estate agent has is their own website. Okay, so that's the center of your online universe. It's your branded hub. All roads lead into it, and it's where a lot of the conversion action takes place in terms of, you know, lead generation, those sorts of things. So look after your centerpiece. Get that right, and then you can start to experiment on the outside in terms of some of these third-party options that you've got. But it doesn't make any sense to open up Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest if you've got a suboptimal website. Mm. Okay. Okay, so in terms of the social media journey, I think it's important to just start playing with it, what I call constructive tinkering, to get on the journey and start getting familiar with how stuff of this works. Because for a lot of us out there, it's scary. It's like, well, it's a time waster. I don't fully understand how it works. I'm going to make a mistake and look like a goose. But when you actually start playing with these tools and getting familiar with them, you actually realize that they're not that mysterious. It's quite straightforward. And you can start to work out options and angles as to how to utilize them that you never would have occurred to you if you had had that standoff approach. The social media environment is very new. You know, the big shakeout hasn't taken place yet. I think that we'll know that social media has become a thing when we stop referring to it as social media. It'll just be part of the communications mix. I mean, we don't have a telephone strategy in our business today, but, you know, telephones are important. We just take it as a given, and we know how it works, inbound and outbound calls, those sorts of things. But get involved. I'm not saying you have to open up Facebook straight away as the default option, but you need to start experimenting and working out how stuff works. If you're reliant on agencies or consultancies to just parachute solutions in for you, you're actually not going to get that hands-on feel, and you're not going to feel that you can start to communicate and engage with people directly. And I think that's where the real value of social is, this engagement opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Tim. And back in episode 17 of the Real Estate Pros podcast, we had Holly Beckman on the show, who runs a property management company over in Washington. And she's doing some amazing things on Twitter, social listening, basically listening out to conversations on Twitter and chiming in to help. And she generated over $150,000 in US revenue by spending 10 minutes a day over a 3-month period just doing that. So I think all of these technologies have the ability to, like you said, just jump on and try new things out. You don't have to do what other people are doing. And some of the other technologies, I mean, we've seen the Meerkat and Periscope come into the market in the last few weeks that were launched at South by Southwest Festival. Tim, are you familiar? Have you had a bit of a play around with those platforms?
No, I haven't yet. I probably, I don't know, 5% of my time I allocate to experimenting, trying new things out. The remaining 95% is just trying to refine what I'm currently doing. I think this is a bit of a trap for some people out there, that there's a whole or a continuous never-ending flow of new toys to play with. Mm. And some of them end up being the next Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And a lot of them are come and go. So don't ignore them. Mm. But I think to the most part, you need to be spending your time on making what you've currently got in front of you work better.
Tim, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a study conducted by Edison Research, which found that 62% of complaints about a company start on the phone or via email. And 71% of people who complain online do so because of a failure on those traditional customer service channels. I think it's a wake-up call to consider how you're embracing customer service on those traditional channels to prevent people from publicly shaming your company online. I'm keen to hear your thoughts. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Tim, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Okay. This will be a common answer on a lot of podcasts that ask the same question. Seth Godin. Okay. So, yes. I read the first book from Seth Godin probably about 12 years ago now, Permission Marketing,
yes.
And I've been a big fan of his ever since. Now, the reason why, get stuff out there, give it a go. Don't be afraid to make a mistake and look like a fool, because we're all in the same boat. We're all dealing with these inner demons around, you know, putting ourselves out there and appearing foolish, but you just got to get over it. It's really, really important. I struggled with that for a number of years. I'm okay with it now. If people think some of my stuff is crap, I don't mind. I'm doing it fundamentally because I believe it's the right thing to do, and I'm on that path. And Seth's been a good sort of touchstone for me to keep me true to that idea.
I love it. I'm a big Seth Godin fan. I've actually just got his new book, What to Do When It's Your Turn. I can't wait to read it. What is your favorite thing in the world, Tim, to do when you're not at the office?
Okay, I walk the dog for 1 hour every day, and I listen to audiobooks and podcasts. Okay, so I think podcasts are a great way to keep up to speed with things that are happening, generally speaking, or within a specific industry sector, podcasts such as your own, Josh. But I find that a highly efficient way to pull information into my head and do something else at the same time. So I'm walking with the dog and I'm just listening to some great people talk about what they know best.
How big is podcasting right now? It's exploded, hasn't it?
Well, it's funny because it used to be big, 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 and then it sort of fell into a trough, and now it's huge. And more organizations should be putting more time into producing streaming audio.
Well, there's something quite fascinating, Tim, isn't there, about having someone in your ears for 40 minutes or so. But I think, to your point, it's something you can do while you're doing something else. And you can't exactly be on the treadmill, be walking the dog, and watching a YouTube video. So I think
exactly right.
I think it's definitely a great thing. Well, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read, and why?
Okay, the most influential book would be The Long Tail by Chris Anderson. Now that's influenced a whole lot of online business models over the year, but I make great reference to it in terms of search engine optimization, you know, the long tail keywords, the lower volume but higher value. But the long tail really talks about the value that can be created around niche. And this is one of my big drivers with anything I've done in my own business over the last several years, is to try and not be all things to all people, but try and establish high value pockets, niches. Now, in a digital context, it's possible. In a physical context, the long tail wasn't so effective. But there is great value to be made by tapping into small, high-value communities that can exist anywhere in the world, because, you know, the world electronically is global, and create value from smaller markets.
Tim, what is your favorite technology or online resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
That's an easy one. That's my website. That is, as I said before, the center of everything for me. It's where I spend probably 80% of my time in terms of improving it. High quality content out through my blog, which is attached to my website. Mm-hmm. My website set up has a whole series of conversion funnels, not just e-commerce, but lead generation. And that's where I spend the bulk of my time. It is my best tool. It's my best direct and indirect value generator, without a doubt.
Love that. And I think something you mentioned earlier, Tim, about that being the central point of all your marketing and all these other platforms that we've talked about today, I think it's important that our listeners understand, Tim, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this, is that those platforms, you don't own them, and two, mm-hmm. they could be taken down tomorrow, and what are you going to do with the audience that was there?
Completely. So this is the notion of owned real estate, which is your website or your blog, as opposed to rented real estate, which is having a brand presence on a third-party platform. And as you've said, they could go belly up, or more the case, they could change the rules halfway through the game. And so we're seeing this with Facebook in terms of suppressing reach for fans of a brand page, for example. And a lot of people say, well, that's not fair, but it actually is. It's you know, the old saying, we never use an online service for free. You're not the customer, you're the product. But of course, no one can take or meddle with your own real estate, which is your website or your blog.
Tim, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be from your perspective? And what would your advice be to overcome it?
Unrealistic expectation around returns. The time frame. I don't think this is a quick series of wins to be had. It's hard work. It's every day. It's consistent. It's building up credibility and trust. So as I said early on in the show, sales are important. So we all want to sell more if we're in a sales mode. We want more property sales and we want more places to manage. There's no doubt about that. But be realistic as to how quickly that's going to take place. And, social media is good work, but it's hard work.
Well, Tim, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
I would say that, and I'll go back to Seth Godin, it's not really a quote, but it's one of his mantras, which is to ship. Okay, the idea that you've got ideas, you're going to push an initiative out. It could be getting involved with social media or getting onto a new platform or trying a new campaign angle online, doing something around your website. Don't just sit there endlessly thinking about it and talking about it. Ship it. My idea is that you get something out. It may not be perfect straight out of the gate, but you get the chance to iterate on it quickly. And that iteration process is getting the hands-on feedback as to what's not working and what is working and refine. It's great to have the idea and launch at the perfect moment, but that moment will never really realistically appear. Get it out there and start playing with it immediately in a live context.
I love that. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Tim has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Tim Martin. Well, Tim, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to say thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Through the website, so net101.com.au. That's probably the best place to go because that is the center of my universe, being the website. I'm also on LinkedIn, Tim Martin. I'm fairly visible there. And Twitter, at 2sticksdigital. So 2, 2, sticksdigital, which is one of my first brands. You can find me hanging out on Twitter.
Tim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.